It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
Welcome, you guys. So excited to have you here on the show. Thank you so much for plugging in. Thank you so much for sharing the program. Thank you so much for giving us a 5-star rating on iTunes. And also, thank you so much for subscribing to my YouTube channel at youtube.com/Bert Martinez. So thank you very much for everything that you guys do to support the show. And it seems appropriate to say thank you here in week of Thanksgiving. By the way, we're just going to start the show off with the quote of the day. The quote of the day brought to you by Mr. Mahatma Gandhi. Mahatma Gandhi, one of my favorite individuals. The best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others. The best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others, again, by Mahatma Gandhi. It just seems appropriate to think about things like that as we get into the holiday season. Obviously, we need to give service and give thanks all year round, but just thought I'd mention it. Seems timely, as they say. All right, let's get the party started. My guest today, Marianne Dersch. Marianne Dersch worked with nonprofits to move from operating out of fear and scarcity to confidence and abundance so they can attract like-minded donors and raise money. She is the author of Courageous Communication, How Codependence is Making Your Nonprofit Brand Boring and What to Do About It, and founder of Courageous Change Workshops. Marianne Dersch, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. All right, so I got to ask you, why work with nonprofits?
Well, I guess I would ask back, why not? But for me personally, it was always a calling. It felt this work feels most in alignment with who I am and the gifts that I bring to the world. And when I was in college, I was an advertising major. But I've always had a strong social conscience and sense of social justice, so it was the perfect way to marry those two. And I think just for anyone in general, it's a great way to use your gifts and your talents to for the purpose of bettering humanity.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, I think that. Especially the older you get and the more successful you become, it's one of those things where success, real success, is eventually serving other people because, I think that is part of the responsibility, if you will, or the obligation of being successful, whatever that means to somebody. And so I think that being able to give back to your community, give back to your favorite charities, support those efforts, I think is absolutely, we'd call it, in line with, that kind of abundance thinking. And so I want to start off by asking you, in the intro, I mentioned that the work that you do is to help these nonprofits go from the scarcity and fear type thinking to abundance type thinking. And it's interesting because I think that's probably not only the thing that holds back these nonprofits, but really it's the mindset that holds all of us back, right?
Yes, it is. And I think it's especially true for a very risk-averse industry like nonprofits that feel incredibly responsible for the donor dollars that they receive, which is a good thing. But sure. When it's taken to the extreme, it can also really hold us back from really doing the work and growing an organization. And, when I talk about fear and scarcity, I work with organizations on branding and messaging and how to present themselves so that, you know, they attract like-minded people. And the fear is of, you know, saying or doing the wrong thing, that they're going to lose a donor, they're going to make somebody upset. So their messages and how they present themselves tend to be very bland because they don't want to, like, ruffle any feathers, which I think is a nice metaphor a couple days before Thanksgiving. But they don't want to ruffle any feathers, right? So they tend and so they're missing the opportunity to present themselves with confidence and this idea of abundance, which is if we're doing and saying things that are authentic to us and our organization, we are going to attract like-minded people. And just living with that idea of the money is there. When we are presenting ourselves in an authentic way, we're going to attract like-minded people to us. And when I look at the most successful organizations that I've worked with, the most successful organizations that I pay attention to, these are the ones that are saying, this is who we are, this is what we do, you know, and then the people who agree with that say, oh my gosh, that's so exciting. I want to learn about them. Tell me more about them. I would like to support them.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so let's talk about this, this movement. You refer to it as a movement that you want to change the language around nonprofits to human investment companies. And I love that because when people hear nonprofits, they start to immediately glaze over to this idea of human investment companies really changes everything. So talk about this a little bit.
So, we talked about this idea of fear and scarcity to confidence and abundance, and I've been on that journey too. You know, you're talking about this is what holds us all back, and I've been on that journey. And during this time of being on this journey, you tend to look at everything else through a different lens. And I think, why is my community that does such amazing things talking about themselves about what they're not? Okay, so we don't make a profit. Like, who cares? But actually, we do make a profit. We just roll it back into the organization. So it's just not an accurate description. And I thought, what is an accurate description? This idea of human investment company where, you can invest in oil, you can invest in businesses, stocks. There's so many things, or you can invest in humanity. And what I love about this is it positions us as an investment. So I can give a donor gift or a contribution. And, Bert, I can bring you a gift and you can say thank you and that transaction is finished. But an investment means, I'm putting something in and you're putting something in, and together we want to create something more than we could have alone. And so there's a lot of energy around there that says, hey, your gifts create more than we could do. And it lets both parties be involved and excited about the outcome. And I think part of it is just messes with our collective self-esteem as organizations, like that we come from a place of powerlessness and dependence because we need donor dollars instead of saying, hey, this is who we are. And if this is the change you seek, this is where you put your money.
And I think this comes down to, because I love what you just said, and this comes down to showing the benefits to your donor, because I think that most people that work for a lot of these nonprofits, the difference between, I want to say, the individuals that work for these nonprofits that are able to raise a lot of money versus those that are not, is being able to articulate what you just said. This is what we do. This is the effect of what we're doing. Here are the people that we're investing in. This is how we're changing these people's lives. That becomes real to me as a donor versus when they get into that brochure-like speak. And it's like you said, like I said in the intro, it becomes boring and people don't want to invest in something boring. Look, we've all heard it. But when you say, hey, for every dollar you donate, 80% goes to this community and and here are the benefits, and this is what we've done so far, that becomes real.
Yeah, so I'll tell you, I was in the, had a meeting with a colleague who runs donor-advised funds. You know, so she's helping people make choices around their philanthropy. And she said, my job is to take the gloss off the brochure and get to the realness of the organization. And I told her, I said, my job is for you not to have that gloss, right? Like for you just that organization to feel confident that they can come to you authentically, right? Because that's where the real relationship begins. And it's this idea of presenting an organization, you know, saying here's what we are and here's what we're about. And it's also this idea of I cannot change what's in people's hearts, because if I could, I'd be a very powerful person. You know, people have their own heart, right? They have their own set of experiences. And most philanthropy is born of a pain. There is, you know, someone, you know, saw or was part of something in their life, and they say, I don't want anyone else to go through this. And they tend to gravitate towards organizations that deal with those issues. So I can't change what's in your heart. My job is not to convince people that of the worth of my organization. My job as a nonprofit executive, you know, a fundraiser, a marketer, executive director, is to find people whose heart, right, whose heart is values what my organization values, and attract them to me. I cannot, like I said, I wish I could, but people have their own philanthropic wheelhouse, and to respect that. That you cannot force those relationships and force them to fit, because we do it every day. And everything I talk about, I bring it down to, like, you know, one-on-one relationships. You know, if it's just not a fit, it's not a fit, right? And that's okay. So if we're living in confidence and abundance, we can say that's probably not a fit, you know, and then we move on. And then that you leave that relationship with mutual respect, that no one's trying to convince you or push you down a path that doesn't feel right to you. So it's this idea of, you know, being authentic to yourself, but also honoring each person that you encounter as they may not care, and that's okay, and you're probably not going to be able to make them care. Your idea is to find the people who do care and show them what you do.
Yeah, and that's perfect. You know, I remember watching this wonderful interview with Michael J. Fox, who is affected by Parkinson's, and he is devoted a lot of his time now to curing or finding a cure for Parkinson's. And the individual who was, I think it was Philip Stone, who was asking him, well, how do you convince people, you know, to get involved? Because and how are you convincing people to consider, I think at this time there was a possibility that stem cell might be able to reverse some of the effects. And he said exactly what you said. He goes, I'm not here to do that. I you know, if you don't like the stem cell research and you don't care about Parkinson's, I'm not here to convince people of doing that. I'm only here to make people aware what's possible, and those who like what we're doing, we hope that they get involved. But my job is not to convince anybody you know, to change their belief or to get into a position where I have to convince them of anything, because it's just not my job. It's not what I want to do, and it's too difficult. And I think.
Right, and
go ahead.
No, I'm saying, and you can't. You know what I'm saying? So you're not going to be able to. So why try?
Right. I mean, you're fighting an uphill battle. You know, what's the old saying? A man convinced against his will is still of the same opinion still. And, you know, and it's so true, because we've all seen it. Where facts don't matter. And we all have seen arguments that, you know, I mean, you can pick them. There's tons of ongoing arguments right now. Climate change. You know, there's a gazillion people that can show you all the facts that why climate change is real, and there's a gazillion people that can show you why all the climate change is not real. And you're never going to convince one or the other. And wasting your time trying to convince somebody of something is just it's futile. You got to find the people that are already of the same belief, like-minded, and just move from there and see if they think that investing in your organization is the right thing to do for what they believe in. And so I love that. Okay.
I want to just say real quick, it's not that people can't change our beliefs, because if you look at our history, our belief systems have changed a lot over the years. It's just a slow process that most of us don't have the time or energy or resources to deal with. And when there's so many people who already think like you, why are we worried about the people who don't think like us? So, it's just the idea of just there's great people out there. You know, what they say is everything is achievable with the right strategy. Like, everything is achievable. We got to find the right people.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I want to talk about this, because one of the things that, you know, that you deal with, and I want you to expound on it, and we've been talking about it a little bit, but that is the big lie in philanthropy. So talk about what the big lie is when it comes to philanthropy.
So the big lie is that there's only so much money for philanthropy. So there's only so much, so we have to make sure we get our slice. And I was thinking about this, and then I started, reading about this and this idea of, because I've told the lie, and as someone who has worked with and served nonprofits and a consultant and capacity for a long time, you know, I've told the lie. I said, you know, there's only so much money, so you really need somebody like me to help you get it, because I believed it. And then I realized, you know, it's like Amazon sitting there thinking, well, there's only so much money to be made in online sales. Like, no one, you know, and again, it is about this idea, you know, fear and scarcity. I have to get mine instead of abundance, which is there's enough for everyone. And there are many times when we are called to give, you know, natural disasters and when organizations have, you know, capital or endowment campaigns where they're asking their supporters to give a little more and go a little deeper. And most of the time, those supporters rise to the occasion. So there's really nothing in our, you know, factual space that says there is only so much. It's this idea that we put in our heads, I think, so that we can manage the risk and manage the, you know, the disappointment better. Well, then there's only so much, right? So I'm not going to ask that person because I'm sure they already gave. And I'm not going to ask that person, you know. I bet, you know, and it's like this idea of then we can just sort of make excuses, in a sense, just keeping ourselves safe. But in a broader picture, it really pits organizations against each other in a way. Instead of creating connection and community, it's like, well, we better fight and scrape for every crumb, because then, you know, because I have to get mine. And so it becomes a very difficult place to live every day, just sort of like fighting for it, instead of living in a world where, you know, hey, there's enough for all of us. And when we are, you know, doing our job and attracting the right people, you know, there's plenty for all of us. And in all of our worlds, and especially your world, you know, this is what you work with people to believe, right? Like, anything is possible. And, you know, there is enough out there. And it's just a matter of accessing that. And so stories like that keep us from accessing that.
Yeah. Again, I love that, because that story, it just so happens that I was talking about this the other day. The story that we tell ourselves justifies our level of fitness, justifies our level of love or relationship, justifies our level of abundance, right? So, so that story that we tell ourselves, there's only so much money. There's only so much this. There's only so much, you know, I can't do it because I'm too young. I can't do it because I'm too old. excuse me, that person's probably already donated. These are just stories. And, you know, I think the answer to most of our stories is so what? Well, so what if this person's right. already donated? Doesn't mean that they're not going to be willing to donate to you if they right. have a reason to. If you can find the connection that, you know, as you mentioned earlier, that one-on-one connection and say, hey, this is why, you know, I know you've already donated $1 million, but here's why you should donate to us anyway. And so I love that. So when you're talking to some of these companies and you're trying to change their story, you're trying to convince, let me rephrase it, you're trying to retrain their thinking to get out of this scarcity lie, do you give them some ideas, some strategies? What are some of the ways that you got, that you changed your belief about this lie? Let's start with that.
So I think the idea is to first, and that's what's when I talk about these workshops, that's really the experiences, you know, you come out at the end with a communications plan. That is the product, but the best part is this journey where you're really looking at what are the stories we're telling ourselves, and then how can we challenge those with truly what's going on. And that's what I was talking to you about is let's look at all the ways that we give above and beyond consistently. So instead of like, yeah, we can believe the story, or we can look around and see what's really true, right? And talk about different instances where our donors, both within a specific organization and other examples we've seen, have shown that there's unlimited potential, like the ice bucket challenge or things like that, where you know all of a sudden people are giving money to something, right, and connecting with something that they hadn't before, everyone wants to be the next one of that. That's not what I'm talking
sure.
about. But this idea of when we are called, we respond. And so we can really look at what's happening around us. And then we can say, now, is that true or is that a story? We can say it's a story because here's what we know the truth to be. And then it's this idea of that, okay, if we live in abundance, then how can we change what we do and say so that we can create a brand that honors abundance? And what I mean is a brand that says, we know who we are, we know what we're about, and if you're with us, that's great, and if you're not, that's okay too. We respect that. And that is such a different position than, please help us. You know, we need – and people want to give to leaders and, you know, people of power. So, you know, and we talk about, you know, this idea of sales as demonstration. So here's what we do that's so great. And that doesn't really ring true. And like sales is connection. So, hey, you like me and I like you and let's work together. Or this idea of sales as leadership. When I talk about sales, I mean fundraising, like fundraising is leadership. Like this is where we're going and we would love to have you, right? And it's such a different place of power, and it feels so good to be in it because everyone's tired of this, you know, because we're living in this scarcity and fear, and you realize it's just a mindset, and we can shift the mindset. And when we shift the mindset, we get better outcomes because it starts with the brain, right? The brain,
yeah.
right? Your thoughts and then your behavior. So we need to change the thinking before we can change the behavior. And for many years, you know, I worked with organizations. I could teach you how to write more compelling copy, or I could create amazing messages for you. If you didn't have a culture to support that, it was going to fall flat, right? And so instead of training people to behave differently, my job now is to train organizations to think differently so that they can behave differently. And to think differently means you have to have a culture that supports this idea of courageous communication. So changing that culture, then we can change our outcomes. And when we start really digging into what is this culture really about, then you're like, yeah, this is kind of ridiculous. Why are we living like this? And I think you probably encounter this with people all the time, like personally, like, why was I living this, you know, small life when I can live this big life? Because once you shift the mindset, then everything is open, right? And then you see people really grow.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just so interesting to me I am fortunate to meet a lot of great people through Money for Lunch show here, and as a speaker and stuff like that. I've met a lot of wonderful people, and I think that let's say that I'm thinking big. This is the big aha I had a few years ago. Here I am. I think I'm thinking big and living large and really kind of trying to I was under the story or under the belief that I was, you know, operating on all cylinders, and maybe I was, but bottom line is you start getting around people who have this mindset, this thing, who really think big or bigger than you, who have more abundance than you, who basically the way they think kind of just shadows the way I was thinking, right? And it's like I realized that, man, I'm just like a small thinker. I had to just face the fact that the story that I was thinking big was just a lie, because, you know, I can't tell you how many times I'll get around somebody who's a real achiever, who is a real big thinker, and they'll share with me their plan, and I was just shocked that in my head I was thinking, man, that's just not going to happen. And then a year later,
right,
X amount of time, they achieve this ridiculous, ridiculous goal. And when I go back and I ask them, well, how did this all come together? And you know, it's always about the mindset. Everything starts and ends with that consistent story that we're telling ourselves. And most of us, and I mean most of us, and this
most
really,
of us. Uh-huh.
Yeah, again, to be completely transparent, this is where I find myself, that we are so negative in our thinking. Again, like I said, I caught myself thinking, man, that's not going to work. And instead of being open to the possibility that this person has this belief that they're going to make this goal happen. So bottom line, everything starts and ends with the way we think and how much we're willing to be mentally, what's the word I'm looking for? Robust, to be willing to think hard and long and consistent, right? Because lazy thinking, lazy beliefs get you nothing. Just like if you're a lazy worker, you're either going to be fired or you're going to make very little money. You're always going to be scraping the bottom of the barrel. The same thing with our thinking. So if we are hard, you know, for lack of better terms, if we can get our brain to think hard and hold that vision and change that belief and change our story, then we completely change our lives, and the people around us, their life gets impacted. And before you know it, the way you're thinking can all of a sudden change an entire community. And we've seen this, that it's never like a million people get the same idea and say, hey, we need to make this change. It's usually one person who then gets another person, and all of a sudden you have one person who starts thinking this way, and all of a sudden they start attracting that million or 2 million or 5 million people, and all of a sudden the movement takes place.
Yeah,
but it starts with that one person.
That starts with that person. And when I tell you I'm starting a movement. And when I found my mentors and I found my place, and I saw people who saw me for their vision of me was so much bigger than any vision I could have created for myself. And so when I benefit, I immediately think and turn around and say, how can I use this to serve my nonprofit community? How can I help them create visions that I can see, you know, that, and because it's amazing to be around people who just see us for our highest and best self, you know, and
yes,
see us for all the gifts that we have. And so when I, you know, and to turn on them and say, you know, I see your potential. I can help. I can see that vision. It's such an exciting place to be. And, you know, I made this, you know, we tell this story about the butterfly garden, you know, of wealth, you know, instead of like, if dollars were butterflies and every day you would get up and you would like catch a butterfly, right, with your net. And, but then you never know how many you're going to get or how you're going to take care of them. And, you know, what if there's none? What if there's a bunch? How do you manage it? And then this idea of the creation of wealth is to create like a butterfly garden. And to, you know, your gifts, your assets, your strengths, your connections, you know, your desire, and all those things make your garden, and the butterflies come to you, right? And the money comes to you. So that's how I'm helping nonprofits do, to create this garden of attraction so that they don't have to run and fight and scrape. And I do, and, you know, and like, yeah, maybe when you were talking about like lazy people or negative people, I don't think people realize that they're negative. I think they're just trying to get through the day. And I know my folks, like, I see people who work really, really hard all day, every day, and they are completely devoted to the folks they serve and to making their communities better. So they're working really hard. And it's this idea of we don't have to work hard. You know, we can be devoted and driven and put a lot of effort in and in a place that's so much more energy rich because we're you know, we're creating this garden so we don't have to run and scrape anymore. And so everything I do is just a design to say, you know, let's create this garden of attraction where the butterflies come. And, you know, even if they would disappear tomorrow, they're going to come back and we don't have to fight and scrape and worry. And that's what's really, you know, that's what wears people down. And in that space, how can you dream big? You know, how can you dream big? Because you're so worried about getting through the day. So, you know, it's just taking that time. And this is why when we do the workshops, they're 3 days so that we can really get into that mindset and creating that space and time for your brain to create a new vision. Because we're just so consumed with the day-to-day. You know, it's hard to create that space and time just to, like you said, really, you know, what you're doing, where you're going, you know, as individuals and an organization, because individuals make up organizations. So we have to start at the personal before we can make it, you know, an organizational issue.
Absolutely. I love that. I love that. All right. Marianne Dersch, her book is Courageous Communication: How Codependence is Making Your Nonprofit Brand Boring and What to Do About It. I love sharing this time with you today. It's been a blast. And Marianne Dersch.
Thank you. I love it too. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you. And so if somebody wants to find out more about Marianne Dersch, if a nonprofit is listening or somebody is listening and they want to get a hold of you, what's the best website to do that at?
It's just my name, MarianneDersch.com. I'm the only, there's only two of me in the whole world. MarianneDersch. And you can find all the information there. And, you know, you can shoot me an email. I'm happy to talk to people. It's what I love to do. You know, and see if this is something that is really speaking to you, I would love to hear from you.
Absolutely. Marianne Dersch, thank you so much. Good stuff there from Marianne Dersch. Again, the book is Courageous Communication: How Codependence is Making Your Nonprofit Brand Boring and What to Do About It. Or you can reach out to her at Marianne Dersch, DERSCH.com, MarianneDersch.com. My friends, let's help our favorite charities. Let's help our fellow, what do you call it? Our fellow friends, humans, whatever. Let's help everybody we know by sharing this show. Let's help everybody change their mindset. We all can always do better when it comes to scarcity thinking versus abundance thinking. We can all do better at telling better stories to ourselves. Let's share this episode with everybody we know. And as always, my friends, thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for sharing the show. And remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch and check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.